Amen. Well, I tell you, if I were a piano, I wouldn't want to meet those ladies in a dark alley on a back night. It's so good to be here tonight, and I'm just glad to be able to be a part of this. This has been a wonderful evening, and I thank God for it. I thank God for all those who put some tireless effort, and a lot of time goes into a service like this, and I just am personally grateful to all those who've been a part of it. I thought tonight, before we go home, that it would be good for us to kind of brush up on our knowledge of road signs. You know, you can't get enough of knowledge, and you never know on these back North Carolina roads what kind of road sign you're going to see. So I thought it'd be good for us to just kind of get a little bit of a refresher course. I know you probably didn't come expecting that, but we're going to do that just the same. So I'm going to hold up the sign, and I want you to see if you can guess the sign. Some of you might not be able to see it, but let's see if you can guess this sign. Oh, good. Okay. All right. That's good. Now let's see if you can guess this sign. School crossing. Very good. This is a really intelligent crowd. Now this is a very difficult sign, but I'd like to see if you can guess it. Oh, good. Bike route. Very good. That's great. That's great. I'd like to see if you know this sign. Emergency. Very good. Very good. Okay, now, this is abbreviation, so it might be harder for some. Oh, good. Very good. Boy, I'll tell you, I am very impressed. Okay, here's one. Oh, hey, everybody needs to know that sign. Good. Okay, here we go. Here we go. No pedestrian crossing. Good, that's good. How about this one? How about this one? No bicycles. You all are very, very on top of it tonight. Here's one. This is the opposite of one you've already guessed. Pedestrians. Oh, wow. This is. Now, I'm not sure if you'll be able to get this one, but here we go. Are you ready? Stop. Now, in North Carolina, the stop sign is optional if it has white around the edges. That's just for you to know. Just for you to know. Now, how many think you can guess this one? Here we go. No. This means look out for crazy women drivers. Okay, all right. Now, that's good. You all did a very good job tonight. I'm very, very impressed with that. Now, you know, it's really important for you to brush up on these things because you just, it's easy to forget. And you know, a lot of people today are asking for a sign. They think that the signs of the times are everywhere, and certainly there are a lot of things happening in our world. But you know, in the Bible, there have already been set forth three signs, three road signs that every single person in this room must learn and heed. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, where the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, the truth is that there are some signs that prohibit. Other signs inform. Some signs warn and others regulate. This first sign was prohibitive. It was something that God set up right at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it was a sign that read, "No eating allowed." In other words, at that sign, God said, at that tree, you're not to eat. Now, you've got the whole garden. You can go to the blueberry patch. You can go to the pineapple patch. You can go to the coconut tree and the banana tree. You can go to the orange tree and the apple tree. And they had just numerous trees that they could eat of, and perhaps even some, we don't know, but perhaps even some that are extinct today because of sin. But the truth is there was one tree in the Garden of Eden, just one, that they could not have. And that tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God made very clear that they were not to eat of it. Now, when the devil came and tempted Eve, she got all confused about what God said, and she said, Well, we're not supposed to eat it and we're not supposed to touch it. God only said, thou shalt not eat of it. He said, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, in Genesis chapter 3, the devil came and met them at guess what tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And while he stood there at that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he enticed Eve, deceived Eve, and in doing so, deceived Adam. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Do you know, honestly, I've thought many times how wonderful it would be if we could turn back the clock and go right there and stand between the devil and Eve and Adam and plead with Eve and Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you know, we can't do that. They ate, and when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they brought sin upon the whole world. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 15, through the offense of one, many be dead. In Romans 5:18, it says, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Romans 5 and verse 19 says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so it's very clear that Adam and Eve sinned. And when they did, they brought death upon their heads, death upon their children's heads, and death upon every generation from then until now. It'd be easy for us to stand back and say, well, hey, you know, it's a sad thing that one person's actions have such far-reaching consequences. And, you know, really, we shouldn't be blamed for Adam's sins. We're not. You see, Adam and Eve sinned. They had a choice standing at the Garden of Eden and standing there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but so do you. You have a choice. So do I. I have a choice. And the Bible says we've made our choice in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, all have sinned. Matthew 19 and verse 17 says, there is none good but one, and that is God. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The fact of the matter is that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, but so have you and I. In James chapter 2 and verse number 10, it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Now, the Bible is saying this, you break God's law once and you're a lawbreaker. So I want to ask you, which law have you broken? Which of just God's 10 commandments have you broken? Well, all of us are guilty. All of us have broken the law. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And in other words, every day of our life should be lived with God first and God foremost and God center in the center of our life. Have you broken that commandment? Commandment number 2 says, thou shalt not make any graven image and bow down and worship it. Have you broken that commandment? Any idols in your life? The Bible says covetousness is idolatry. To live for things, that's idolatry. To live for money, that's idolatry. Have you broken the second commandment? Commandment number 3 is the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Every day of your life that you've lived, have you lived using God's name in a holy, reverent way? Or have you broken that commandment and used His name in a spiteful and hateful way? Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the Old Testament, we observe that on the Saturday. In the New Testament, we observe it on Sunday. Have you always honored God on Sunday, or have you broken that commandment? Commandment number 5, honor thy father and mother. Have you broken that commandment? Commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. Have you broken that commandment? You said, preacher, I haven't broken that. But Jesus said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. The Bible says in commandment number 7 is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Have you broken that commandment? You say, preacher, I haven't broken that commandment. But Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. Commandment number 8 says, thou shalt not steal. Have you broken that? Commandment number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Have you broken that? Commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet. Have you broken that? Now, all of us at one point have broken some of the commandments and some all of the commandments, but the truth of the matter is, God says if you break in one point, you're guilty of all. One preacher said it this way. He took his pocket watch and flung it round and round and said, how many links on this chain must break before the pocket watch must go flying? Only one. Only one. You break God's commandment one time and you're guilty of all. A story was told about a soldier that went into Vietnam and he and his battalion went into one island that had been bombed ahead of their arrival. And when they got there, excuse the illustration, but when they got there, the bombing was so extensive that they did not find one complete body of an enemy soldier. A finger there, a head there, an arm there, a foot there, a body there, but not one complete body. But then they went into another camp of enemy soldiers, and they went in by night in a clandestine, covert way, and they took out the soldiers, one enemy soldier at a time with only one bullet apiece. Now the soldiers that had been killed by one bullet were dead. The soldiers that had been completely obliterated by a bomb were dead. And it doesn't matter if you've been guilty of committing all kinds of sins or if you're a pretty religious person and pretty moral person and you've only committed one or two, you're still spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. So commandment number one, or the sign number one that you need, and I want to say everyone here needs a sign from God. Everyone here needs to see these signs. Number one, the first sign is no eating allowed. No eating allowed. And if you're honest, if I'm honest, do you know what we have to conclude? We've broken this commandment. It's an amazing thing because God gives us a will. With this sign, He gives us an option. He's not going to program us as robots. He gives us the option to break this if we choose or keep it if we choose. But if we violate this sign once, we're guilty. He said, preacher, what's the second sign? You said there were three. Well, the second sign is blasting way ahead into the future. It's found in Revelation chapter 21. And in Revelation chapter 21 in verse number 27, God's speaking here about heaven. It says in Revelation 21 in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was found no place for them. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In verse number 23, it says, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Here, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. He said, preacher, what's the second sign? The second sign is right posted outside the gates of heaven. And do you know what that sign says? No sin allowed. No sin allowed. Now, the first sign really was an opportunity for us to exercise our free will. The first sign was there, and we could obey it or disobey it. No one will be able to disobey the second sign. The second sign is posted again right outside the gates of heaven, and it says, no sin allowed. In other words, God is not going to let anything that defiles, anything that works abominations, or anything that makes a lie into heaven, nothing that is sinful will be allowed inside the gates. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. He said, preacher, those words are hard to take. You see, I've broken those commandments. I've broken that first sign. I've eaten of the forbidden fruit. And now because I've eaten of the forbidden fruit, I am barred access and entrance into heaven. That's right. Unless your sin is dealt with, you are barred access and barred entrance into heaven. I cannot get into heaven unless my sin is somehow taken care of. The Bible says in the book of Revelation 22 and verse 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, and drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things," hear it, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 9 and 10, the Bible gives another very clear list. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So I wonder, is there anybody here on that list? Is there anybody here who's broken that first commandment? Is there anybody here who's stood at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God set forth and broken the boundaries and trespassed God's commandments? Is there anyone here? If we're honest, we all have to raise our heads and hang our heads in shame. Because the Bible clearly says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, the law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Have you ever considered this? There will be no not guilty plea before the judgment bar of God. Everybody will have their hands in their faces. Everybody will be bowing low. Everybody will be pleading guilty. Why? Because they're standing before the giver of the law and the law itself, and they have to plead guilty. If you're honest tonight, you have to plead guilty. And so the Bible gives us the first sign, no eating allowed. It was optional. We could exercise our free will. The second sign is not optional. In fact, we cannot exercise our free will. This second sign will not be violated by anyone. It has never been violated, and it is not now, and it will never be violated. And so the second sign shows us that we're in deep trouble. Now you might be able to break the speed limit sign around here. You might be able to violate the stop sign. You might be able to violate the yield sign, but you can't violate this sign. No sin allowed. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13, "Of God, thou art of pure eyes and canst not look on iniquity." You say, "Preacher, what's the third sign?" What's really important that you pay attention right now. The first sign shows us that we're guilty sinners. The second sign shows us that because of our sin, we cannot get to heaven. We're barred entrance into heaven. In fact, we are in big trouble because of our sin. If we're not going to heaven, the only other place we can go is a place called hell. And in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." Now, I can hear some scoffer right now kind of fold their arms and say, "Ha, preacher, I don't believe in hell." Well, excuse me, sir, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. There is a hell that God made, not for you, but for the devil and his angels. But if you die rejecting Jesus Christ, the most matchless display of God's love ever to humankind, if you die rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll split hell wide open. And tonight, God brought you to this place so that you could hear a message of warning and a message of judgment and a message of full forgiveness and a message that Jesus died on the cross to save you from that hell, and you ought to trust Him as your Savior if you had any wisdom about you at all. I want you to notice there's a third sign. It's found in Micah. Micah chapter 7. Oh, that's a wonderful sign. Micah chapter 7 describes who our God is. Micah chapter 7 shows us that God is not like man. There's no man that's like God, at least described in this particular passage. There's no man-made God that's like God, as the Scripture describes Him here. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" No gods do that. Gods don't pardon iniquity. They like to hold that iniquity over the head of their followers so that they can keep them in check and keep them in tow. That's what man-made gods do. No man is like that. Men like to hold a grudge, and they like to hold a bag of rocks, and every once in a while take out a grievance and hurl it back in the direction of the one who had offended them in the past. But not God. who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. I challenge someone tonight to show me a God like that. I challenge someone to name any famous God or infamous God that is like our God, the God of the Bible, who pardons iniquity. The Bible says he's ready to pardon. He's full of mercy. He's full of long suffering. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 it says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's our God. What an amazing God is that? Now you know certain signs are placed by the government on behalf of someone else. For instance, you'll see a sign driving down the road with several orange cones or markers that will say, road construction, road workers present, slow down. That's a sign placed on behalf of another. You might see another sign that will say, children at play next to a playground. You might see another sign that will say, hearing impaired children nearby. Or another sign that will say, school crossing. All of those signs are placed on behalf of another, for another's advantage and help. Are you listening to me? This last sign, God wants to set up on your behalf. They tell us that the Mariana Trench is the deepest part of the sea. They say that it is 65,000 feet below sea level. Amazing. Amazing. Really. It's several miles under the ocean, and it is located over in the Mariana Islands, which are about 1,500 miles west of the Philippine Islands. And you know, somewhere down there, at least they say that's how deep it is right now. But you know, they may uncover that it's deeper later. Can you imagine a place so deep, 5-6 miles or so deep below the surface of the water? Can you imagine such a place? Dark. Some places that no vessel has ever been. But you know, somewhere down there at the bottom of the ocean, the Bible says God has cast the sins of Dwight Smith. And you know what? He's put up a third sign. The first sign said no eating allowed. The second sign said no sin allowed. The third sign God wants to put up at your behalf after he buries your sin in the deepest part of the sea, he wants to put up a sign that says no fishing allowed. You say, preacher, oh, that's cute. That's kind of humorous. No, it's true. And if you think that's only in Micah, it's all throughout the Bible. Think of 2 Peter 3:9. It says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Or Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Think of Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Or think of Isaiah 44 and verse 22, where God says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Or John 1:29, when John the Baptist described the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Or would you consider Isaiah 43 and verse 25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Would you consider Psalm 103 verses 8 and following, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Would you consider what God says in John 5:24? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Or how about Romans chapter 5 and verse 1? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Or Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the the Spirit. Or Colossians 2 and verse 14, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. I'm going to tell you tonight, no religion on earth can do what God has done with our sins. What a privilege! What a privilege to have our sins buried down, 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 deep in the deepest part of the sea where no sea vessel has ever gone, and buried there. And God says, no one is to dig it up, and no one is to bring it against you, and I'm not going to remember it. Think of that! An all-knowing God choosing not to remember our sins. And He says, no fishing allowed. Now, I know some religions kind of have a pay-as-you-go system. You sin today, you confess today, you're all right. But if you sin today and you don't confess today and you die, you're not all right. I don't know about you, but I'd say tonight would be a good night to kick the pay-as-you-go system right out the door. You know, some people kind of say if you do good, they balance it out system. If you do good, that'll balance out the bad. But you know, the Bible never teaches that. In fact, the Bible says not only is your bad bad, but so is your good. So if you really want to have your sins dealt with tonight, the way God alone can deal with them, and the way God alone will accept, come you standing right outside the gate of heaven, you need to come to Jesus as a lost, hell-deserving sinner and place all your weight and trust and dependence in Him and His finished work on Calvary. And believe that He died and was buried and rose again, not just for the world, but for you. And put your trust in Him. I'll tell you, there are dozens in this room tonight that can testify that Jesus Christ does take away our sins. And if you'll come to Jesus tonight, He will take away your sins completely and forever. Just a few weeks ago, I was in East Tennessee. I was asked by a friend of mine to go visit his grandma, an elderly lady. And I went to visit her. He's one of my dearest friends of all, and I went over to her house and told her who I was and sat down and talked with her. And she told me in the course of conversation about a friend of hers that had just died, and she went to the funeral. And I asked her, I said, well, ma'am, I said, are you ready to meet God? She said, no, I'm not. I said, well, do you know that you're a sinner? Yes. Do you know that if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell? Yes. I said, do you know that Jesus Christ came to die in your place and He shed His perfect blood and was buried and rose again for you? Do you know that? Yes. She'd had a brother, she'd had a son and a grandson who was my dear friend, witnessed to her and witnessed to her of Christ's goodness. She said, you know, a preacher told me one time, I'll know when I'm ready. I wrote her a letter and I said, ma'am, that preacher has done you a great disservice. This thing of salvation isn't like a temperature change that kind of all of a sudden comes on you and you know when you're ready. If you know that you're a sinner and you know there's a penalty for sin and you know Jesus paid the penalty by dying, being buried, and rising again, then you're ready to be saved right now. And the word is nigh thee, even the word of faith which we preach. It's that word that God has given. And now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I just got a call this morning from her grandson. He said, she trusted Christ as her Savior. I'm going to tell you what she did in an old age, anybody in this room can do, to have your sin completely blotted out. There's three signs you need. The first sign's no eating allowed right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The second sign, no sin allowed right outside the gate of heaven. And the third sign is no fishing allowed. It'll be set up on your behalf the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I thank you for your kind patience and attention to the Word of God. In a moment, I'm going to ask the song leader to sing and the choir to sing, Only Trust Him, Only Trust Him. I wonder, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, who in this room can say, preacher, there's not a doubt in my mind. If I were to die tonight, I know that I'd go to heaven. I have trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I were to die tonight, Jesus is my Savior and heaven is my home. Now, if you don't know that, if you're not sure that your sins are buried in the deepest part of the sea, if you don't know that you are going to heaven, if you're not ready to meet God, don't raise your hand. But if you know that you're saved and that your sins are forgiven, and if you were to die tonight, you would stand in the presence of Jesus, accepted in the Beloved, would you raise your hand high right now? Preacher, I know that I'm saved. If I were to die tonight, I know that I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put your hands down. I'm so thankful for you that raised your hand. And I saw some just now who couldn't raise their hand. I want to thank you for being honest. Well, that's the first step to God, being honest. I wonder if you'd take it the next step and take it all the way tonight. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you don't deserve God's heaven. But you know Jesus died for you and He died in your place. And if you'll trust Him, He'll save you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, preacher, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure that my sins have been blotted out. You say, preacher, if it's possible for all my sin, past, present, and future, to be buried in the deepest part of the sea, never to be remembered against me, I want that. You say, preacher, I don't know that it's happened, but I want to know that my sins have been blotted out. Will you pray for me? I want my sin to be forgiven. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody in the building like that? Just slip it up and let me see it. In a moment, I'll remember you in prayer. Is there anyone? Say, preacher, pray for me. I do not know if I died tonight that I'd go to heaven. I could not raise my hand a moment ago, but I want to know that my sins are forgiven and that my home is heaven. Is there anyone? Just slip up your hand right now. Anyone? Slip it up. In a moment, I'll remember you in prayer. Anyone? All right, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to say to you, those that are here, and you could not just now raise your hand saying you know that you're going to heaven in a moment. We're going to have an invitation song. Brother Cummins is going to be standing here at the front. And if you couldn't raise your hand saying that all your sins are forgiven and you know that your home is heaven, then on this very first verse, I want to invite you just to leave your seat and come and meet Him. If you're a man, we'll have a man deal with you. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady show you privately from the Bible what Jesus says about how your sins can be completely blotted out. I want you to come on this very first note as we sing, only trust Him. You come right now as we sing.